This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The influence of Jewish cuisine spans across the globe, and this includes the relationship between Jewish food and the culinary traditions of the American South. For centuries, the South has helped reinterpret Jewish recipes, talking about pastrami biscuits and matzo ball gumbo and much, much more. Joining me now are Marcy Cohn Ferris and Joan Nathan. Marcy is a professor of American Studies at UNC Chapel Hill. Joan is an award-winning cookbook writer, and they are participants in a symposium this Saturday and Sunday at the UNC Chapel Hill, somewhere at UNC Chapel Hill, I'm sure. It is called Jewish Food and the Global South, and I want to welcome them back. Marcy, welcome back to you.
Thanks. It's great to be here, Frank.
And Joan Nathan, welcome to you.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Marcy, let me start with you. This symposium is looking at the relationship between Jewish cuisine and the American South. It's a long history, right?
It is a long history. You know, and I think it goes back all the way, really, to a place in North Carolina. Because back in the 1580s, there's this man named Joachim Gantz, who's like a mineralogist, and he's with Sir Walter Raleigh's, you know, expedition. And so that's probably the first Jewish, you know, settler, explorer that's identified with this experience.
Well, Joan, I want to ask you the same question, the definition of Jewish food, too, and kind of what that means. Let's kind of take one a step even deeper back. And what am I saying when I say Jewish food?
Well, Jewish food, I'm just actually finished a book called King Solomon's Table, A Culinary Exploration of Jewish Cooking from Around the World, where I try to explain that. I think there are three things that define Jewish food. The first is the Jewish dietary laws that go way back to Mount Sinai, and that's what makes it different from other people's food. What's going on in this country right now with Muslims. Their food is really founded on Jewish food, and Christianity is sort of a reinterpretation of Jewish food. So that the dietary laws are something that's very important. There are two other things that, to me, define Jewish food. One is the Jewish experience of traveling around the world and looking for new foods. And in doing that, they adapt Jewish food to wherever they live within the dietary laws. Even if the dietary laws are in the back of your head and you don't observe them, and I believe that people have not observe them and have observed them since time immemorial. And the third is really a combination of the second one and the first one, is that when Jews are always interested in discovering new foods. That's part. From the time of King Solomon, they went out around the world looking for new foods, new stones, new precious jewels, whatever there was in the world, and they've added them to their cuisine, but in with the dietary laws.
Well, so Marcy, what this suggests is that when we talk about Jewish cuisine, we're already talking about Creole cooking. So when we get here, we shouldn't be so shocked to hear that it's mixed with the South as well, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it looks like. You know, in Joan's work really establishes this. Her work is really some of the first work I read that really provided a great social history of Jewish food to help us understand the American experience, and particularly where I was interested was in the American South. So you look at a community like Charleston or Savannah or Richmond. Well, these were some of the earliest Jewish communities, and these were exotic global places, a mix of enslaved Africans, Native Americans, Spanish, Creole, as you said, French, English, German, you know, languages spoken, lots of tastes and flavors and spices, which feels like the Global South does today.
So when Jews came to the South, how much of it was sort of kept intact from wherever they came from? In other words, the cooking traditions, or as Joan said, there's this hunger and desire to mix and find out what else is going on. How long did it stay Jewish food, and how quickly did it begin to incorporate other kinds of food?
Well,
Joan?
Okay,
well, I think a perfect example is rice, don't you think, Martha?
I do.
Some of the first women that were involved in rice were Jewish women. And according to Karen Hess, the historian, a lot of the pilafs came through the early Jews that came from Iran, and then with the center of Judaism, with the rabbinic center, moved from, it wasn't Iran then, but from Mesopotamia to the south of France. And they brought these traditions with them. And then they brought them, the pilaf tradition, to Charleston. And you can see, like, with, and I've found this in France too, saffron rice, sort of almost crunchy, was something that was brought here. And then, of course, it was incorporated into what other people were using.
Yeah, and I guess that raises the question, too. I mean, for most Americans who are not Jewish, if you say Jewish cuisine, they think deli food. So they're thinking right. Corned beef and pastrami, which I'm assuming was not the original, you know, not anything that we would have found, you know, in ancient Jerusalem necessarily. Or maybe it was.
Absolutely not. It was adapted from Russia. In fact, we were at the Russian embassy in Washington last week, and my husband said, look, this is all Jewish food. It was a fabulous feast. And I said, no. Jewish food is adapted from Russian food.
So what happened when it got here, Marcy? You talked about some of the places that that are the kind of the centerpiece, including North Carolina. How did things change and why?
Well, I was thinking what Joan just said about rice. And Joan, you know, what do they call that dish in the Lowcountry? Pilau or pilo? You know,
right.
that kind of rice pilaf. So certainly working class Jewish families were eating that food in Charleston, and even, you know, more kind of elite Jewish families and mercantile families. And a dear friend of ours, Dale Rosengarten, did a really fabulous exhibit on Jewish life in the Lowcountry a few years ago. And one of the fabulous artifacts in the home of these Jewish Charltonians was a rice spoon. You know, this beautiful silver rice spoon that really spoke to the plantocracy, the economy, the world. So they ate the foods of the place they lived in exactly the way that Joan's describing. They have with them, they bring this core kind of culinary grammar, you know, a language of the place they came from, whether that was Germany or, you know, Bohemia, the different states of Germany, you know, or where they, if they were Sephardic, they brought those tastes with them, and they became, those become and maintain and are really important flavors. But meanwhile, African-American people working in their families, working with them, they're tasting the taste of place.
We'll talk about that and the influence of African-American cuisine on Jewish food in the South.
Well, it's really important because those are the women whose intellect, creativity, their culinary grammar that they bring from Africa and then pass down through family, that becomes a part of the Jewish table in the South as well. And it's different. You know, we've got so many different regions in the South. So our region of the Piedmont, vastly different from the Lowcountry, vastly different from New Orleans, you know, or from, you know, the upper South. But those enslaved and then free African Americans really deeply shaped, you know, the flavor and the table of the Jewish South.
What are some of the things you're going to be talking about at the symposium?
We're doing some really exciting things. You know, we're kind of beginning with a session that looks at the history and politics of the Jewish kitchen, and Joan's on that very first panel and helps us to kind of think about, again, that question, what is Jewish food? What does that mean? You know, just what we're talking about today. And we've got some really terrific mix of scholars and journalists and writers to talk about that. And then we're deconstructing the deli. So it's that same question of, you know, when you think of Jewish food, is it deli food? Yeah, it's a big part of it because of the strength of the German culinary worlds in our country, and then German Jewish and those flavors. So we'll look at the new American deli, and then we'll look at the deli Southern style, because there's a lot of excitement happening around delicatessen and just small scale artisanal food businesses in the South. Well, that's a deli,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Joan, I didn't know if you had anything to add. I thought I heard you, you were about to say something.
Well, I agree with Marcy about place is different all over the South. And I know that, for example, that there were waves of immigration. The first ones, of course, were the Sephardic Jews, who a lot of them went to the islands and were involved in the sugar refineries. And then some of them had relatives that came to places like North Carolina. They did have different foods, and the foods took on different flavors wherever they lived within the United States. So you find that Jewish food is always changing. And after the early Sephardic food, there was the German food, but then there was also the Alsatian food, which was a subculture of the German food. And you see that, I think, remarkably in the New Orleans. The whole, you know, the idea of bread pudding was an early kugel. And even the donuts that you see at Café du Monde are the same kind of donuts that Jews in Alsace would have made for Purim before there was such a thing as Hamantaschen, which is a triangular pastry, which I believe is really from Bohemia, stuffed with poppy seeds or jam. So that you find different things in different places, not only in the South, but all over the United States. And she's absolutely right about the African-American, first the slaves and then just the total influence in the kitchen. I remember going to a woman in the South who had a wood-burning stove, and on top of her stove, she had a box of matzah meal. And I said, "What are you doing with that matzah meal?" She said, "Well, I learned so many things of how to cook food from the people that I work for in Baltimore, and that's what I use instead of breadcrumbs or anything." So, you know, you see those flavors and those, they taste good, but also Jewish families loved the African-American flavors. So what you find is during the week you have one flavor, and then for holidays or the Sabbath, it might be a little bit more traditional.
Well, let's talk more about that, because I think we've been talking generally about the influence of Jewish cuisine on the Southern palate and table. But what happened to Jews who moved here in terms of the changes in their diet? Is there gefilte pork or no?
Gefilte pork. I think Bill Smith is, that's a really popular gefilte pork. No, it's cheese pork. Okay.
Cheese pork.
Yeah. Well, we do have Sam Suchoff with us, and he's a nice Jewish boy that grew up in L.A. and was bar mitzvah there, and, you know, and he is a fabulous, you know, chef and pitmaster, and owns the Pig here in Chapel Hill. So it may be a little controversial to people, but we're bringing Sam, because I think he's a really important voice, because he also mixes in, you know, Jewish flavors and, you know, brisket. One of his dishes that I had recently was the kosher cowboy, which is not a light lunch, but it's brisket with baked beans served on some latkes. You know, it's just
What a great idea.
A light little. A
little bit of sour cream and applesauce.
Right. But, you know, Sam really speaks to these young entrepreneurs who care about small scale production, local excellence. That's who Sam is. Matt Neal. Zach Stern will be joining us from Miami. Zach has a fabulous Glot Bakery, Jewish, you know, kosher bakery and deli there, and is really speaking to kind of this revival and new energy in Jewish cuisine today.
Well, and you talked about the variations all across the South, too. And Marcy, I know you grew up in a small Jewish community in Arkansas. Talk about the foodways there, how things might have changed there, and how you've seen things change as you moved around the South.
Right. So Jewish food in Blytheville, Arkansas was the food at my Jewish mother's table. You know, so she came from a conservative Jewish background in New London. She was a great New London, Connecticut. She was a great cook. You know, we didn't have a kosher household, but we only ate pork out at the Dixie Pig barbecue restaurant. But the real Jewish food was at Delicatessen in Memphis, you know, an hour and a half up the road, you know, and that was a very vibrant, still is a very vibrant Jewish community. And so that was where we were introduced to those worlds of what's available, you know, in a deli location, you know, it's pickles and meats and, you know, all the Jewish specialties. And we would buy those there and bring them home and enjoy them on our table.
Well, Joan, we're talking about a culinary exploration of Jewish cooking around the world and the global South. And I think that's another important aspect of this. And Marcy's already talked a little bit about it, some of the changes we're seeing in cuisine in general. But, I mean, what do we mean when we talk about the global South? We're really talking about a South that is no longer the rural South. It's kind of opened up to various ideas. How is that changing and opening things up for not only Jewish cuisine, but I guess other cuisines as well?
Well, what's so interesting to me is Shaya's restaurant in New Orleans, which is an Israeli Jewish restaurant, but with Alon Shaya, who's going to also be at the conference, with his Bulgarian Israeli influence from his family and growing up in Israel. And when I went to the restaurant, I thought, well, it'll be just Jewish people. Well, there was the Zulu king of Mardi Gras there and his wife. There were all kinds of southern people, one of whom's husband didn't come because he thought that this would be, there wouldn't be a lot of meat, and he really wanted meat. But I, you know, I had to interview everybody that was in the restaurant, and I was fascinated by it because it's not like it would be, let's say, in New York, where you'd find a mostly Jewish population going to this restaurant. And I think that speaks to what's happening to Jewish food in general. The people, it's rising above politics. People are really interested in it. And it is changing the way we're all changing so quickly. You know, if you can't be wedded to the past past in some ways, right. And yet in others it's so important. I remember there was a woman who had caper sauce fish. She was in one of my cookbooks, and she had 8 eggs in this for the sauce for this fish that she served for Friday nights and for holidays. And I asked her. She lived in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I said, well, you know, it's really, there's a lot of cholesterol in that. And she was 103. And she said, what do I care about that?
You know? Yeah, and then remember, it's actually a protection. It was protecting her
right.
arteries.
Apparently, somehow she got to 103 with all those eggs. Well, and tell us a little more about that, Marcy, because I think that's important. I mean, apart from the sad politics in this state recently, which has closed us off, has hurt our business, you know, with HB2 and some of the regressive politics that we've seen out of our legislature, which has hurt us, there had been a trend, and talk about this as kind of a counterpoint to that. It opens us up to not only other cultures, but our economy as well, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it invites people to come here.
Absolutely. This is what North Carolina looks like, and, you know, and it has from its beginnings, you know, and this is what our nation looks like. This is what the American South looks like. It's this diverse, vibrant, you know, place that just, you know, practically vibrates, you know, with the taste, the flavors, the voices, the politics, the love of families of all these immigrant groups that come together and live in this place and create their own, you know, North Carolina, their own American experience. And where else can we better understand that at the table? You know, I think this is a really important political discussion that we will engage in on Saturday and Sunday during the symposium of, you know, what does it mean to us today, you know, to try to make sense of, you know, the union of what we care about in this world today. And food takes us to that place very quickly.
Well, you talk about that a little bit more, Joan, the idea of food being the thing that can transcend politics and re-invite people to the state and encourage them once again to find this a livable place.
Well, throughout the history of my writing, I've come across conflict cuisine and different people, especially in Jerusalem. And I always notice that when you sit down with people who are supposedly your enemy and you break bread and you like the food, so many things happen. And I think that it will only happen again in North Carolina, just doing what people are trying to do and say hello to their neighbors. It's happening all over the world. In Germany, where there are a lot of Turkish immigrants and people are not accustomed to them, and they sit down, they talk to them. It's going to happen in North Carolina as well. I'm sure of it because the people are not so far away from each other. It's just people that are fear is a very important force, and unfortunately, it's what's driving things in America right now.
Yeah, it makes me think of Harry Golden. Remember this story from the Carolina Israelite? And after all the temple and the church bombings, he said, I have a cure for the anti-Semites. You know, it's an onion roll, you know, with corn. You know, they just need this. You know, we got to bring them some lox and cream cheese. And this will, you know, help them understand.
Marcy Cohen Ferris, Joan Nathan. Marcy is a professor of American Studies at UNC Chapel Hill. Joan is an award-winning cookbook writer. Her upcoming book called King Solomon's Table, A Culinary Exploration of Jewish Cooking Around the World. Both will participate in a symposium this Saturday and Sunday at UNC Chapel Hill called Jewish Food in the Global South. We have links at our website, stateofthings.org. Marcy, Joan, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
And I left your cookies and your corned beef here and your bagel and your hummus.
Blessings, okay. Blessings. The legacy of North Carolina's first certified nurse midwife coming up. Stay tuned.